We're getting ready for the annual missions conference, and we're asking the Lord to help us. To help us to grow in our burden for the world. I do believe that missions conference is a time of revival. It is a time where the Lord stirs our hearts and helps us to, if you can word it how you will, but it gets us out of our bubble. And sometimes we get stuck in our own little world, and that's all we see happening. But boy, does it do a wonderful thing to our hearts when we get to see what God's doing on the other side of the globe. As we think about what God's doing in other countries and around the world. And by the way, God is doing a great work. We know that because He promised He would. God promised that He would do a great work. And though I understand Satan seems to be prevailing in certain areas of our world, and he seems to be gaining ground in certain areas of our world, but we must not forget what Jesus declared. And He declared that the gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. We can't forget that, church. The devil would want us to forget that, but we will not forget. And we will remember that God's work is going forward. But here is what we have to ask ourselves when it comes to missions and when it comes to reaching this world. We have to ask ourselves, do we want to get on board? That's what we need to ask, because God's work is going forth. And I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you. I do believe, from what I know about you, I believe we together, we want to be on board. We want to be on board of the Great Commission and doing more. Reaching more souls in these countries around the world that have yet to even hear about Christ. And countries that have very little witness. Two of the missionaries that are coming are going to countries just with that testimony. Indonesia, in fact, has the largest Muslim population, according to size, country in the world. They have a very high percentage of Muslims there, and there's a young family on deputation going to reach them with the gospel. We also have a family, the Murdochs, that are going to Germany. And are going to work there. They're on deputation. They're getting close. I think they're right at 80%, I believe. But they're going to Germany, to a very needy mission field where you don't see a lot of churches preaching the gospel. And they're going to do that. And we're going to be able to have a part in helping them go forth with the gospel. If you'll find your place there in John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the fourth gospel. And then that's chapter number 3. Now you'll remember, church, that this is in the context of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And as he is witnessing to this religious leader, this religious doctor, if you will, he is going to come to a somewhat of a close here, as he's bringing his message to a close, he will, of course, be saying some other things. But this is where the gospel, in a nutshell, this is what some have called the little gospel, and that's found in verse number 16. Most of us here could quote this verse. And in fact, why don't we do that together? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Lord God, we think about this verse. Lord, we've all heard it many times. Most of us have. And Lord, some of us memorized this verse perhaps when we were 4 years old or younger. And Lord, I pray that it would be as fresh as it was then. I pray that You would do a work in our hearts through this verse even tonight. And God, we will give You all the glory for what You do. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled this, God Gave to Save. God Gave to Save. When we talk about getting ready for missions conference, we are going to be talking about giving. We're not going to be just talking about giving financially, however that's a part of it, but we're going to be talking about giving of ourselves. Giving of ourselves in prayer. Giving of ourselves willing to go. To surrender our hearts to whatever the Lord may have. And I hope and I pray that each one of you in this room tonight before leaving will surrender your heart afresh. Not saying you haven't done this before, but afresh saying, Lord, here am I, send me. We need that. That is a term of obedience. That is a term of humility. That is a phrase of surrender to the Lord. And that is the Spirit of Christ. Indeed, as we're going to see here in the following statements. And after the message, I'm going to ask you to do something. Don't feel like you're not spiritual if you don't. I want to preface that. Oh, it's not about putting pressure. But I'm going to, at the closing of this message, I'm going to give our church an opportunity to have a special time of prayer. And I'm going to open up the invitation to anybody that feels led. And if you don't, it doesn't mean anything. But if you would consider coming and praying with me here at this altar tonight at the end of the message, to pray for our missions conference, to pray for our missionaries, the nearly 40 families that we support, and to pray that God would call forth more laborers out of this church. That is something that Jesus said. He said to his disciples, he says, look, men, he says, the harvest is truly plenteous. There's a lot of work to be done. But then the Lord states the problem and he says, but the laborers are few. But the Lord gave a solution because the Lord's all about giving solutions. Amen. Our Lord gives the solution. He says, pray ye therefore. In other words, since that's the case, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers. So we're going to do that tonight at the end of the message. We're going to come here and everyone's going to pray, but I would invite you to come and pray with me. But this verse right here, John 3:16, is definitely one of those verses that we are most familiar with in the Word of God, and also it is one of the ones that you would ask certain ones out in the community, especially in the Southeast like this, and most likely they're going to be able to say, yes, I've heard that, or even you might have them quoting it with you. It always encourages me at Good News Club when we're having Bible study and we start quoting that verse, and we'll have several young people quoting it with us. That's an encouragement. But I'm reminded not everybody in America, not every child in America is familiar with this verse. You remember that testimony when we went to New York City and we went to Staten Island and then we were there in the park and I had a group of about 12 kids gathering around me and I asked them about that verse and they all responded that they have not. They have not heard that. Just a kids that, and then of course I quoted it to them and gave them the gospel there. But the point is that this is why we do missions. It's because God gave His Son, His only begotten Son, and that is why we as God's children who have been reached, we were someone's mission field, thank God. Somebody took the time to give me the gospel and give you the gospel, and we have received this, and now it's our turn to return the favor, if you will, to a lost and dying world. We've heard it. Praise God, now it's time for us to give it to some others. And we see here that Jesus, number one, we see the basis of His giving. Now, one of the things I thought would be interesting to ask you tonight is this. What is God's current attitude towards the world? Right now, 2019, September 22nd, well, right on the East Coast is 6:32 p.m., but what is God's attitude towards the world? And when I say the world, let me clarify, because it can have several meanings in the Word of God, but I am talking about here, the world, I am talking about the human race. humans, people of every ethnic group that you can think of every religion you can think of, the vilest you can think of. What is God's attitude towards them right now? I want to tell you what it is. I believe you know this, but it's exactly what it says right here in John 3:16. God so loves the world. That hasn't changed. Doesn't that encourage you tonight, church? I'm telling you what it does with me. That God's love has not changed. When he looked at Brinson Jennings, he saw an enemy. But he saw an enemy that he wanted to save. And you could say that about every human being that's breathed air on the face of this earth. Yes, they may have been vile and wicked and opposed God, but God has loved them. It hasn't changed. God's attitude. So therefore, if God's attitude towards the world is an infinite, unwavering love for them to be saved, therefore, what should be your love and my love towards a world that is in darkness? I believe it should be the same, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you agree, church? Y'all give me some nods. I know you stayed up late, watched Georgia games. Y'all hang with me, okay? I didn't, but Joanna did, okay? So, God loves the world. And he loved it with all his heart, and he still does. And he is showing us right here in the scripture. So we see, number one, the basis of his giving. The basis of his giving, we see, first of all, is this word, so. That's the strongest manner possible. In other words, when that word so, it's a little word, but it is packed with meaning. In other words, there is not a greater love than what we see right here. God so loved the world, and we know that from the Word of God, no greater love than what Jesus Christ has given to us. And then this word loved. We throw that word around very lightly and flippantly many times in our society and our culture. Love. This love right here, when God says He's so loved, this is the basis of His giving. This simply means it was an act of His will. It was not just an emotion. It was not a phileo love. It was an agape love, an unconditional love. And in fact, there was nothing that could change that love that was created for us in Him. For God is love. As we were talking in Sunday school this morning, it's just not that God does good things. God is good. It's not that God just shows us love. He is love. And we see that He loves the world. This love is the basis of His love. This is for the world. Every single person, every people group, every language. Now I know this is hard to get our minds wrapped around, but there are several groups, Joshua Projects being one of them, that estimate that there are around 17,000 people groups on the earth. 17,000, that's when you include language, that's when you include their culture, that's when you include their geographical location. You look at all those things, there's around 17,000. Now, of those 17,000 groups, I'm just going to highlight just for here for a second, just to kind of give us an idea. There's at least the top 100, this is just the top 100. The top 100 unreached people group makes up, get this, how many people? 1,882,679,000 people. That's just in the top 100 unreached people groups. I'm talking about people groups in the Middle East. I'm talking about people groups in China, people groups in Africa, people groups in Asia. I am talking about people groups here that it is referring to. Did you hear that again? 1.8 billion who were considered unevangelized. Folks, that is a lot of people. And according to this verse that I'm reading before my eyes and that sits in your lap, according to that verse, God loves every one of them. Do you believe that, church? Yes, I know you do. And we need to let God to let it go from our heads to our hearts. Because if you're like me, I struggle with that. I'm like, lots of numbers. And sometimes it just hangs out up there. But you know what missions conference can do, church? Missions conference, through the preaching of the Word of God and the display of what God's doing around the world, it can get down from our heads to our hearts. That's where we want it. That's where we want it. Can some of y'all nod with me? Amen. You with me, church? We want it to get down there. And to know that God loves them, and therefore if God loves them, I want to love them. And if I love them, I want to reach them. Because that is what Jesus Christ did. The basis of His giving was His love for the world. And what was the evidence of His giving? The evidence of His giving was that He gave. He followed through with His love for us. And we know that He gave by going to a cross called Calvary. And this word gave here basically measures His love. Can we measure the love of God? No. Immeasurable. It is impossible. But that's how He gave the evidence. He gave. And by the way, that's how you and me will show our love in reaching this world. It will be determined what we give in reaching them. It might be giving of self. It's going to be giving of finances. We're going to be talking and praying about our faith promise and what we want to do this year. But we will be talking about giving, and what we give, it truly will be a measurement of our love for reaching the world. But then the evidence of His giving, not that He just gave, but who He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. This speaks of the Lord Jesus' eternal sonship. From eternal past that we can't get our little finite minds around, and I understand that, but it's still doctrinal, that Jesus has always been the Son. For all eternity, Jesus Christ has always been the Son, and He is unique in that way. There is no other one that could fill His shoes. There is no one that could take His place. And that Son, who had been with the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity, millions and billions and billions and billions of years and beyond, set aside this one point 2,000 years ago, in all of eternity, the Father gave His only begotten Son, the one He has known for all eternity, who is co-equal, and He would give His Son. He would send Him to the sin-cursed earth, and He would part with Him at Calvary, and He would turn His face from Him. And He would forsake the eternal Son by giving His only begotten Son, the unique one. That was an evidence of His giving. And I'm praying that God would help us to follow in the steps of having the spirit of giving. I'm praying that the Lord would raise up some people from this church who will have a desire to go and reach people that haven't been reached with the gospel. Will be set afire in their hearts with compassion. I'm praying that there will be ones that will want to go on certain missions trips that we'll have and want to go and reach others, and even in our own community, and be willing to take missions trips and to do more in reaching this world. It's going to be measured by our giving. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to part with? And a lot of times you start talking that way, church, you know what the first thing we're thinking of is finances. We want to think that, but that's not what God's going for. Listen, I know for a fact, from what I read in the Word of God, God is not interested in anybody's wallet here that their heart's not in it. I believe God just say, keep your money. That's, I believe, what God would say. I believe in the spirit of the Bible, God is not interested. And you see through the Old Testament, I was just reading, I'm reading through the Minor Prophets in my devotions, and I'm just reading about how so many times God confronted them about their offerings. and what all the things they were offering. He was just saying, listen, I am not interested in that. And Micah, in fact, is where I've been reading. He's like, I am not interested in that. I am interested in your heart. And that's how we will make an impact in this world. We will have the Spirit of Christ of John 3:16. And then we see the extent of His giving. The extent of His giving is there found where it says, whosoever. Whosoever. Those 1,800,600,000 people that are unreached, I believe God wants them to be saved. And I'm praying that God would allow Crooked Creek Baptist Church to have a vital part in it. I am praying that God would help us to give, that more missionaries can come through here and be supported. I'm praying that the Lord would raise up laborers that will go to some of those people. I am praying that. And I ask that you to pray that with me. It is for whosoever. Whosoever. I don't care what the hyper-Calvinist says. I don't believe that it's only for a certain few. I believe the gospel is for every breathing human being. And I'm thankful for that. It makes me want to do more. It makes me really want to get happy about missions conference and get excited about it, to hear about these new countries and sometimes these strange foods that they eat. Has anybody ever had balook? Somebody grunted. Have you had it, Brother Andrew? Oh, you got to try it. You haven't lived until you've tried it. Does anybody want to know what it is? Let me just get a show of hands. Okay, I'll tell you. It is a Filipino delicacy there that they partake in. It's basically a duck egg that basically has the little duckling inside of it. But I want to assure you, it's hard boiled. And when you bite it, oh, so good. For the exception of the crunch. But I'll leave it right there, okay? Woo! La Perea, here we come! I'm just kidding. But we get to hear all kinds of neat things. And you know what's so precious is these families come who are giving of themselves and they're giving up and they would say they're not giving up anything. They're doing their reasonable service, which I understand that. But we know that they're coming through here, and the least we can do is to bring them in and encourage them and support them and love them and pray for them and do our best to get behind them in support, because this is the home base, if you will. This is where we're launching out, if you will, and to those areas of the world that are unreached. And we're sending forth laborers. It is such a blessing to have that missions conference. It's the spirit of giving, and that is indeed the spirit of Jesus Christ. And may we never forget it, church. And then we see his reason for giving. His reason for giving is found there in the last part of the verse. It is says that whosoever believeth in him, get it, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did God give his only begotten son, church? It was for the reason that we could be redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Hey, I'm glad to be redeemed tonight. But there is a world out there, church, who has not been redeemed. And God's saying, go! Go! And I'm ready to go. And I can go by my giving. I can give of my finances. I can give of my prayers. God's called me here to this church. God perhaps has called you to stay at this church. But we can give, folks. Because I believe there's a lot of people out there that are waiting to hear the good news of the gospel. Whether they receive it or not, I don't know. But I happen to believe there's a lot of Ethiopian eunuchs with that context of life where they're out somewhere in the middle of no man's land where people in America, quite frankly, could care less. But I'm praying that there will be a church, a little church in somewhat of a cow field over here in Jackson County that will care and make an eternal difference. That's my prayer. Redemption was the reason of His giving. And do you know why I give? I do give for the glory of God. And I do give by obedience. But I want to tell you, I give for the same reason God gave too. So that people would be redeemed. And I want to give so that people will be redeemed and they will not perish. Listen, can you underline that in your Bible? If you have not, that word right there, should not perish, should truly grip us. I want to pray tonight that the Lord would renew us in this matter of the doctrine of hell and the doctrine of the lake of fire. Because if you're like me, there are many times we have a head knowledge of it, but the tears are not there. And I am praying that the Lord would help us to understand that the reason God gave to save is to truly redeem mankind from having to spend eternal damnation in a constant state of agony without any relief. People say that's humanism. I want to tell you, whoever says that, that's hogwash for people thinking that. Listen, I want to tell you right now, God doesn't want them going there, so neither do I. And I want my heart to be moved because I don't want anybody to go to hell because my God doesn't. And I believe it will help us. I believe it will help us, church, to have a burden to see that God gave His Son so that people would not perish forever in a place called hell and eventually being given up to the lake of fire without any relief. I want to show a video here to you in our closing, and then we're going to have a time of prayer and ask the Lord to help us. I want you to know, I know this is somewhat of a heavy message, but I want you to know it's a reason the message is called the Good News, church, because it is good. This message is good. This message is something we're getting excited about. This is a message we're going to do our very best with the power of God. By faith, we're going to do more than we ever have before. Lives are going to be changed because of the power of the message. And I want to show this video, and what it does, it will show you basically a short little 2-minute video of what, who is this unreached people group? What does it mean to us? Well, it's a short video helping us to have a better understanding of that. And I don't know what God's going to do in this missions conference, church, but what I foresee is the Lord giving us a greater burden and maybe even calling someone from this congregation to go to one of these people groups. I don't know which one it will be. I don't even know if it'll be while I'm alive, but I'm praying that the Lord would send forth some missionaries out of this church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, that will go to unreached people groups. And I hope you'll pray with me on that.